Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, your host, and welcome to another edition of Family Talk. We are devoting this program to the upcoming National Day of Prayer, which is going to occur this year on Thursday, May the 5th. It's always on the first Thursday of May. That was as a result of an act of Congress. It was unanimous, as a matter of fact. And then President Ronald Reagan signed it into law. So you can put that date on your calendar as always being the National Day of Prayer. And we must not forget it, because if you don't exercise your liberties, you're going to lose them. And it is so important that we remember to pray for our country, and pray we have done. Last year, in 2015, 43,000 prayer gatherings occurred when people of faith in Washington, D.C., and in every state in the nation, and even in many foreign countries, I think 20 foreign countries, joined in. And to be honest, many of the people there are praying for America, because they're very concerned about what's going on here in our home country. God is being asked by all of us, you know, throughout the year, but particularly on the National Day of Prayer, to hear from heaven, to forgive our sins, and to heal our land. And we really do need a touch from our Heavenly Father this year. I just wish everyone hearing my voice today, I mentioned this a second ago, do it again, to write down the National Day of Prayer on your calendars for May 5th of this year, and to seek out a church or a group of believers, friends, perhaps meeting in a home. Your neighbors can come in. It can be two people. It can be 2,000 or 20,000, as it often is in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and elsewhere. You can meet on Capitol steps, or a person can be alone in a car and just pray. That's where I like to pray, as a matter of fact, when I've got a trip to make. So God can hear us wherever we are, and we must take advantage of the invitation, the commandment that He's given us to pray. Now, to provide more information about the National Day of Prayer, I've invited three people that I love, one of them more than others, I might say. It's my wife, Shirley, and it's always a pleasure to have her here. Shirley has been chair of the National Day of Prayer Task Force for 25 years. Shirley, can you believe it's been that long?
It's gone really fast. I can't believe it.
And Vonette Bright, the wife of the deceased but much loved and remembered Dr. Bill Bright, who started Campus Crusade for Christ, is the one who passed along the mantle to you, and you have carried it so well. I'm very proud of you, Shirley.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Yes, Vonette passed the baton to me 25 years ago, and oh my goodness, she's been such a saint and such a mentor to me, and I think our listeners know that we lost her a few weeks ago, and it's a great loss to the kingdom of God. But she actually started the National Day of Prayer. She lobbied Congress and lobbied the president until it was signed into law in 1988. So we have this because of Vonette Bright.
She just would not give up.
Oh, no, she's persistent. Anybody that knows Vonette knows she doesn't give up easily.
Well, I want to hear from you, but I want to introduce our other two guests. You have a lump in your throat for our country at this time, and this prayer event has special meaning for you, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. I have been so grieved, and I know I join many other believers across the nation, of what we're seeing in our country. Our nation is in a crisis like none we've ever seen, I don't think, since the Civil War. And if we ever needed prayer for this nation, we need it now. And we need serious prayer. We don't need prayer, now I lay me down to sleep kind of prayer. We need in the closet, on our face, on our knees, crying out to God for mercy on this country. And that's why our theme this year is called Wake Up America. The church has got to wake up. God's people have to wake up. And we have to get involved. But most of all, we have to pray.
Also with us in the studio is John Bornstein. He's, of course, the vice chairman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force. And John is also the senior pastor of Calvary Fellowship Fountain Valley here in Colorado. It's a church he started, and it's really going well, isn't it, John?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is.
You have been working with Shirley on the National Day of Prayer Task Force for 15 years.
That's right. Yeah, like Shirley, I can't believe how fast it's gone.
Yeah, well, you have been her right-hand man, and she has leaned on you, John. And I'm anxious to hear what you think about the National Day of Prayer this year, because I know you share Shirley's concern for the nation.
Oh, absolutely. It is definitely a time for God's people to unite in solemn assembly, and I know we're going to be talking a little bit about that today.
Finally, on the telephone with us is this year's honorary chairman. Every year, the task force selects somebody to represent Christian faith in churches and people who are trying to serve the Lord all across the country. And this year, we're so honored to have Dr. Tony Evans. He's the founder and senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and the founder and president of the Urban Alternative. Currently, he's the longest-running chaplain of the NBA's Dallas Mavericks. And also, Tony, you were chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL, weren't you?
Yes, that was a great experience. My son has taken that over for me, but I still get out there and help him out every now and then.
Thank you again, Tony, for being willing to do this. You and I have known each other for, my goodness, a long, long time. How many years has it been since we worked together?
I guess it was 1984, maybe.
I think it did go back to the mid-80s.
Yeah.
And that's when the Urban Alternative was started. And you began a radio program that's now heard on, what, 1,000 stations?
1,000 stations in 123 countries.
Well, I've said that I was proud of Shirley, and I'm proud of you, John. Tony, I'm very, very proud of you and what you've been able
you.
To do.
Well, I'm very, very grateful to you because you intervened during a season when it was hard for minorities to get those opportunities. You ran, talking about football, you ran interference for us, and that opened up a lot of doors. And I'm grateful for all that you and Shirley have done to create those opportunities. So thank you.
Well, frankly, and behind the scenes, I had someone tell me at that time, there is no place in Christian radio for an African-American pastor. And I said, I don't believe it. Let's find out. And the rest is history, because everybody threw open their doors to you.
Well, we're very grateful, and that showed also the respect that they had for you to act on our behalf. So thank you.
Well, tell us how you're feeling about the spiritual tone of our nation. Shirley said we're in a crisis. Do you see it that way?
I think we are living out 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 3 to 6. It says, in those days there was no true God, no teaching priest, no law. It says, citizen rose up against citizen, nation rose up against nation, and city rose up against city. And then it says, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. If God is your problem, only God is your solution. That means that everything we're seeing externally is the result of a breakdown internally or spiritually. Until we get that fixed, God is our problem. And so that's why this day of prayer and what it represents is so critical, because every system in our culture is collapsing. Mm-hmm. And it's collapsing because of the dismissal of the true and living God of the Bible.
Well, isn't it encouraging to you that each year there are something in on the order of 50,000 events around the country? So there is still fervor for what we believe out there.
Well, God has got a remnant, and that remnant is needed now more than ever before, because God is going to respond to us and through us. It is the church's job to keep God's attention in the culture. And so this day of prayer and people praying all around the country and in parts of the world is critical to keep God engaged here, because if God distances himself any further, there won't be a nation. So we are a critical link in this wheel.
That's right.
Shirley, I don't remember the year, but Dr. Evans was one of your featured speakers going back to the 80s. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
I do remember it.
We should have looked that up before we came to the studio.
We should have. Well, whatever he said at that time, I'm sure it was powerful and inspirational, because he's you're being used phenomenally for God, Tony, and we're just so proud to have you as our honorary chairperson this year to really give the keynote message at the Cannon House Office Building in Washington, D.C.
Now, Shirley, there's something that I said that might be not fully understood. I talked about the Congress establishing a specific day for prayer being the first Thursday of May, but it's been going on since the beginning of this country. That's not a new idea. It goes way, way back, in fact, to George Washington.
Absolutely. National Days of Prayer have been part of our country's history since really the Continental Congress back in 1779. But George Washington, he was the first president to call for a National Day of Prayer. Then President Lincoln called for a National Day of Prayer, Thanksgiving, and Humility. Then President Franklin Delano Roosevelt called for prayer during World War II, and it just almost every president. We've had 44 presidents, and 34 of them have called for a National Day of Prayer. So we've had a long history of our presidents calling for prayer, and every president since 1952 has signed a proclamation proclaiming a day of prayer in our nation, including our current president.
Well, for that matter, last year, 2015, every single governor in the 50 states signed proclamations calling for a day of prayer, every single one of them.
And that's a real celebration. To think that we got 50 governors signing proclamations for prayer, I think is a real coup.
And, well, I've always said nobody turns down Shirley Dobson.
I've had a couple.
But you didn't, Tony.
I couldn't. I wouldn't. I shouldn't. I bet not.
Hey, you're a busy man. I've already described some of the things you're doing. Why did you say yes, seriously? Why did you accept this responsibility?
Well, first of all, I am committed to why the Day of Prayer exists. It exists to call God's people collectively together to call on the name of our living God, because we love God, but we also love our country, and we want God's presence to be manifested in our midst. And so that's one reason. The second reason is that I'm heavily engaged in and through our national ministry in working with churches across the country to come together to seek God's favor and God's face for some of the things that are plaguing us, some of the disunity along racial and class lines, some of the painful scenarios that are plaguing our family, breakdowns today. So it's such a burden, and those problems are exacerbated in my own community even. So when I look at all the things that are plaguing us, I wanted to be part not only of analyzing the problem, but addressing it spiritually and from God's perspective to see real solutions come. And so to be offered this opportunity to join in with the nation for this call was indeed an honor and one I'm proud to be a part of.
John, talk about what happens on that day, National Day of Prayer. In addition to your call that everybody around the country who knows the Lord and knows how to pray participate in their own way. But in addition to that, there is an expression in Washington, D.C., the
That's right.
seat of our government. And that happens every year.
That's right. As you mentioned, you know, God willing, there'll be 50,000 plus gatherings of prayer across this nation. We're covering every capital from the air. We've got people flying over the capitals and actually praying from the sky, down on the ground praying, groups gathered at Capitol steps. And then there in Washington, D.C., we have a number of events that kick off the morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, right at Capitol Hill at the Cannon House office building, a 3-hour gathering of prayer. We have a line that goes out the door, and we try to get every single person in because we have staffers, the congressional staffers come in, they rotate out, and we've actually been able to get quite a few of those folks into chairs.
And congresspeople and senators are often there as well.
That's right. And we'll have, you know, with the Congressional Prayer Caucus, they come in, and we'll have it sometimes 50, 60 congressional representatives seated there praying on their knees before Almighty God. It is quite a sight.
You also try to get a representative from various departments of government to come in. And we've had difficulty with the executive branch since President Obama has been in. You know, his predecessors always sent a representative, and we have not had one in the 7 years that he's been in office.
No, it's unfortunate. However, a lot of prayer does go out for him, his family, for the executive branch. We do believe that God can intervene. He stirs the hearts, directs the hearts of the kings. And so we do believe in the power of prayer, and there's quite a bit of it happens there. And we do have representation for all the branches of government, military, business, and even beyond that, all seven centers we hope to represent there and pray for our nation.
Hmm. It's not a conference. You don't have speakers in the usual sense. You have people saying a few words about a particular department or need in the culture, and then we pray. It's a day of prayer.
It is. It is. We're not there to entertain, and the people that are coming are not there to perform. We are there in serious, earnest prayer for our country.
Hmm. And, Doctor, if I may add, too, I think that sometimes our listeners can get a little confused of what the day of prayer really is all about. You know, we get Matthew chapter 6 talks about, you know, a time of prayer, a time of going in private and praying before Almighty God. And I think what we've seen from Dr. Evans and his passion for praying for our nation is a Joel chapter 1-3 kind of moment, a solemn assembly where God's people are united, man, woman, child, young and old alike, to cry out to Almighty God to interfere in the affairs of men and change the direction of a nation. And Dr. Evans, we just thank you so much for standing in the gap, as you already have, as we are building momentum here to this National Day of Prayer.
Well, I am so, so excited to be a part of calling on God together. God made a statement in John 17, and that is that he would respond to the unity of his people before God. And he said that in a prayer. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus was praying about our coming together to his own Father, we are actually participating with him in what he was doing, and therefore looking forward to the results that he got to come to us. And so I can't wait to be a part of it, to anticipate it, and see what comes as a result of it.
Amen, amen. And you wrote a powerful prayer for the nation that I have to say, when we read it, you didn't hold any punches back. I mean, you really called out the church for the state in our nation of how we have really taken a quiet, you said secret agent role, where we just are not standing boldly for our faith. And that's what the National Day of Prayer is calling people out to do, is to get out of our comfort zone, unite together in public ways where people can gather together and remember that this is a nation founded on the principles of the Bible from founders who honored Almighty God. And I want to just encourage you to just keep taking that stand, especially with that national prayer.
Well, you know, I'm convinced that God will not skip the church house to change the White House. If we want to see changes in Washington, D.C., then he has to know that his own people are all in. And that means that there isn't room for secret agent Christians, spiritual CIA representatives, or covert operatives. You know, everybody else is coming out the closet. We might as well come out too.
Tony, you have promoted something you call the Kingdom Agenda. Explain what that is.
The Kingdom Agenda is the visible demonstration of the comprehensive rule of God over every area of life. through the four covenantal spheres, the individual, the family, the church, and the government. God has a covenantal relationship. A covenant is a spiritually, a divinely created bond, a bond through which God does his work. So God wants to work first and foremost in every individual, but then he wants to work through his institutions, the family, the church, and the society, meaning the government. So it is to the degree that those institutions come under his rule in the sense of honoring his principles, that his presence is experienced and felt through those institutions. So what we are trying to promote is a comprehensive view of God, not just a Sunday morning attendance to have a visit with him. He wants a wedding ring. He doesn't want a date. And so what we want to do is to help people to understand what it means to have God overseeing your life 24/7.
Amen.
Well, I can't wait for the event this year. John, we're almost out of time. Would you tell people how they can get more information, talk about the website, whatever else you want to say?
Absolutely. There's a number of ways to get involved. In fact, as Doctor, you just mentioned, go to our website. That's the easiest place to start at nationaldayofprayer.org. And we've got conference calls going on where you can just simply use your touchtone phone, dial in, join a prayer group. We have the live broadcast. You can watch it right there on the website, and it will repeat throughout the day. So if you've got a group that's meeting at different times, you know, maybe you've got a prayer breakfast and that night you've got another gathering, you can watch the broadcast multiple times from the national observance in Washington, D.C. We also have prayer groups that are meeting all over the country. And so you go to the Event Finder, you can find something probably within just a couple miles of where you are right now. So there's a number of ways to get involved. No excuses. We need everybody out praying, interceding before his nation.
And if you don't have that information, it doesn't matter. Gather with somebody and pray.
That's right.
It may be a family at the dinner table.
That's
it
right.
Might be the neighborhood, as I indicated, or your church group or the church itself. I hope a lot of pastors will promote the National Day of Prayer the Sunday before and let everybody know that this is a time for us to hold up our nation. Because if we ever needed prayer, we do now.
Amen. Amen. That's right. And that's what we are just asking every pastor, get behind this. I know it's a Thursday. I know it's out of the normal, you know, scheduled program of Wednesdays and Sundays and so forth. But, you know, it is growing. People see the power of prayer. I think they just are desperate for God to move in this nation. And this is a way to do it. Millions uniting together in prayer.
Surely it must really excite you to think back over these 25 years that you've been involved and to see what God has done.
Well, I live by the slogan, where God guides, God provides. And if he is leading you into some type of ministry or work for him, he will provide what you need. And he did that for me. To God be the glory.
Tony, I want to end by giving you an opportunity to make a final statement, because we really do want to hear from you. And I'm so glad you're part of what's going on here.
Absolutely. Well, I am looking forward to gathering with thousands and thousands of my fellow brothers and sisters who love God, who love America, and who want to see the transformation that we desperately need to bring us back in alignment with him so that we can experience his favor in our midst. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to be part of a event, the National Day of Prayer, where we are concentrating on doing that in unison, because God responds to unity that he has authorized and that he has endorsed. And he has endorsed prayer and has promised to be in the midst of it when it is done humbly, repentantly, for his glory and for the good of others. And since that is the purpose of this day, this will be a powerful day that I'm honored to be a part of.
Give our love to Lois, and we will see you both in Washington, D.C.
Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Shirley. Thank you, John. We'll do it again.
Thank you for having us.
Loved being here.
You've been listening to Family Talk on this National Day of Prayer. And no matter what time you're hearing this program, it's not too late for you to join in this nationwide prayer event for America. The theme of the 2016 National Day of Prayer is Wake Up America, and every believer can play a role in making that happen. Gather with friends or family in your living room or local coffee shop, or go into your prayer closet alone. If you're driving, pull over for a few minutes and cry out for the future of this nation. Together, let us approach God's throne with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The power of prayer has shaped nations, families, and ministries. In fact, Family Talk only exists because of the prayers and support of our listeners. Believe me, we never take that for granted, and we carefully steward every dollar you trust us with. That's why I'm excited to tell you about a generous offer from Friends of the Ministry that will make your donations go even further. Right now, we have a $1.15 million matching grant, so your donation now has twice the impact on families all over the nation and in your neighborhood. Call us today at 877-732-6825 to find out how you can do more for America's families. This is Jim Veldhuis saying thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear a special tribute to moms. You don't want to miss these heartwarming stories on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.